One Man Revolution, episode 46. And what a week, what a week, what a week. How's it going, all my revolutionary friends? This is The Revolutionary, speaking to you from Piney Point Studios in Orlando, Florida. I'm hopped up on caffeine and ready to go. Yeah, sorry about the absence. I've been working on a really big project all by myself right here in the studios, and I just haven't had time to get these online. I've actually thought about recording like six or seven of them all at one time over the course of a couple hours and maybe put it out so that you guys would have something to listen to and not get upset that you don't have your daily dose of the One Man Revolution. So here we are. It is Monday. It is July. Let's see. It's July the 11th in the year 2005, and I am the Revolutionary, and this is One Man Revolution. The show, if you're not clued in on, that challenges everything, questions everybody, and puts forward my agenda, the agenda of revolution. Now, you're probably sitting there going, well, gee, what are you, Che Guevara? You know, who are you, some kind of a freak? No, I'm just a man who's sick and tired of sitting complacently by his television, by his radio, walking around in his city and seeing people not doing anything to rebel against the things that they see wrong in the world. This episode, episode 46, I wanted to record last week when Judith Miller got thrown into detention because of her inability to give up her source for her story. Well, we all know what story that is. It was a story that revealed the name in the New York Times of a particular agent of the CIA who was the wife of a former ambassador. And basically, you know, she went to jail for protecting the Bush administration. Now, if you think this woman is completely and utterly innocent, now you're going to have to think for a few moments. I mean, I am a big supporter of the First Amendment, as many of you may know, and that would be the right to express ourselves, the right of a free press, the right of practicing our own religion, and the right to assemble. But what I am not, in support of is the right of people to generate news, the right of people to put forward other people's policy and make everyone else think that it's reality. Now, Judith Miller, over the course of several years working inside of the New York Times, basically helped the Bush administration, good old King George, by pushing us into saying that, yes, Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. And now those WMDs weren't there, and Ms. Miller, at one point in time, was accused of hijacking an entire military unit and taking them on a hunt for WMDs in Iraq while she was an embedded journalist. So, just to kind of recap it, Judith Miller was not dragged off and changed. In chains. She's now got a new home in Alexandria, Virginia, at a what is known as a low or community prison, the same likes that basically we all think about as kind of a what would it be called? A new generation jail is what they're calling it. It's a more modern and humane approach over the traditional linear style institution. The philosophy combines the management style and architectural design, which facilitates increased staff and inmate contact and works to reduce the tension and improve security within the correctional setting. So that's where we're standing right now, my friends, okay? That is where we're standing now. This woman has been sent to a, you know, basically a criminal resort. And it's okay. That's not a big problem. I mean, she doesn't deserve to be in general population in Rikers Island in New York City. But then again, she, did release the name of an individual, as did the Time article with Mr. Cooper's, also released that same information. But it's okay. You know, that's what happens. You know, a little bit about Judith Miller real quick. She graduated. Let's see, she's 57. She began her career with the New York Times in 1977 with the Washington Bureau, so she's been an insider since 1977. In 1983, she became the first woman to head the New York Times Cairo Bureau, and she was later, and 3 years later, in 1986, she was named the Paris correspondent. She returned to Washington in 1988. And became the New York Times Magazine Special Correspondent. Okay, she also was part of a team that won a Pulitzer Prize. I mean, very for journalism, you know, for their coverage of the Al Qaeda network and their terrorist leader, Osama bin Laden. Miller also won an Emmy the same year for her contributions to a Nova New York Times documentary on germ warfare. But the problem is, she was criticized all the way up until the invasion of Iraq that basically that she was sure that she had the line on the fact that Saddam Hussein, good old Saddam Hussein, had a cache of weapons, and that one of her sources said, "Hey folks, you know, I know that he has it." Well, according to the information that I have been able to glean, she was using sources that were less than what I would call credible. She was using, I mean, basically one source. And whenever she was asked, well, you know, how about this information? How are you getting it? And how can you prove that it's credible? She would respond with things like this.
Basically, you get a fact, you try and put it in context, you check that alleged fact with as many different sources as you can, and then if that fact turns out to be controversial or within the government or not believed by some, as you go along, you collect more information and you write again. And it's just too easy, especially in an area where everything is classified and where people can go to jail for talking to you. It's just too easy to stand back and say, why didn't you report this, that, and everything else?
Yeah, so basically she has had many confidential sources that she has not brought forward in the past, but she's also saying that it's really, really easy to basically generate information that may not be real. That's what I get from that statement, that her laughing, her boisterous laughter about the fact that it's easy to do. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we have this stuff going on, even at a paper as popular as the New York Times. Well, she also had this to say.
The piece that he wrote and his criticism unfortunately reflects a lack of understanding about, one, how hard information is to get in the national security area, and two, how newspapers really go about doing this. Believe me, I tried to vet information in every way that I could before it was published. We never published, and not once, an administration allegation without checking it against alleged experts, independent experts. It's just very, very hard when information is this tightly compartmentalized and classified.
So she's saying, basically, hey, you know, don't blame me for getting the facts wrong. Don't blame me for causing any problems. Don't blame me. You know, I just had bad data. That sounds exactly like yet another person that basically said the same thing, you know, about weapons of mass destruction, doesn't it? Oh, I just had bad data. Well, some of his data was coming from the New York Times.
My job was not to collect information and analyze it independently as an intelligence agency. My job was to tell readers of the New York Times, as best as I could figure out, what people inside the government who had very high security clearances, who were not supposed to talk to me, were saying to one another about what they thought Iraq had and did not have in the area of weapons of mass destruction.
So she was saying, I was guessing. So here's a reporter, the top, one of the top reporters, who has a Pulitzer, who has an Emmy, you know, who has all of these great credentials from the media, and she's saying that she really was just kind of gleaming this information. Well, whatever happened to journalism? Whatever happened to, you need your sources, you need to check your sources, you need three separate independent sources in order to publish something? Have we gone that far away from the journalism that I was taught in junior high school and high school? Have we come that far away from it that now you can basically make up anything, and as long as you have one person who is a confidential informant, that you don't have to say where the information came from? I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, this woman, you know, basically created her own war against Saddam Hussein. I mean, I understand she has a lot of time in the New York Times. She has a lot of information at the New York Times. But what she doesn't have is she doesn't have the sources, the independent sources that all journalists should have. You know, when this occurs. And I think that this type of bad journalism, and also yellow journalism back from the turn of the last century, that got us into a couple of wars back then, that this type of jingoism, this type of, well, it must be true because someone in the administration is telling me it's true, this has got to stop. We have to revolt against these basic media, because when one television station picks up the New York Times and reads an article by Judith Miller that says that somebody has weapons of mass destruction, they take that article, they base their information on her article because, well, she's in the New York Times. Then they don't independently investigate it. Why should they? And actually, a lot of the news gathering agencies are reducing their staff that actually gathers the news. They take it from the AP, they take it from the newspapers, they take it from the radio, they take it from what they call the independent media, and put them forward as news stories, new news stories. So then when you have CNN quoting Fox News, and Fox News quoting MSNBC, and MSNBC quoting CBS, and CBS quoting ABC, well, you can see how the house of cards can just get built so tall that it can't stand on its own when the original fact was wrong. So even this war, this thing that was, that everyone loved to cover, I mean, there was coverage everywhere with embedded journalists, and that was a great coup by this administration to put people in there and embed them, okay? That when this happens, we have to question where that source is from. When you hear, well, a CNN poll says, or a CNN report reports that, or, you know, all of these different parts, you have to question the validity of the information coming forward. So that's where that's what I think we should revolt against today. Let's revolt against the traditional media and do some news gathering on our own. It doesn't take that much time. Heck, I went online, and within a half an hour, I had three stories about jailing of our reporter Judith Miller. I had her bio. I had the story behind the story, which was all about the sources, her sources within the WMD problem, a story about the hijacking of a convoy to go look for WMDs. I also found the entire story in the Wikipedia about the Valerie Plame incident. You know, it has a beautiful picture of her and her husband Joe Wilson, and it gives an in-depth timeline. It gives information about the leak that occurred on September 30th, 2003, and all the different fallout. that has occurred since then. And today, just to bring this full circle so that I can give you new information and not just the information I picked up last time, that I was doing research, I received no less than 10 emails from Think Progress. Actually, they're RSS stories. No less than 10 of them today, and it'll probably be if there is any new mail. Let's see. It, basically, there were 10 or 12 of them today that said things like, well, there's a stonewall up. That Scott McClellan, the press, the press secretary for the Bush campaign, has basically been standing in front of the group and saying, "I'm not talking about this. We're not talking about it. It's a current, current criminal investigation, and I'm not going to talk about it at all." And so, what ended up happening was that he said 23 times that he's not answering any questions about Karl Rove because it's ongoing. He said 10 times that he's not going to answer the questions because they were related or in the context of an investigation of Karl Rove. The number of times that he said that he wouldn't even comment on the question was 16 times. There's a full text of this guy's briefing, and it looked like they were beating him up. It looks like the White House press agency is the press that's there is just swarming on this thing now. So it's good to see that now, of course, after everything has occurred, that we are swooping down upon this administration and at least saying, look, Bush said he's going to fire whoever was responsible for the leak. It's Karl Rove, the man that helped him get into the White House and the man that basically organized his political career. He's not saying that he's going to fire Karl Rove. Not at all. He has not said one word about it. So my good friends out there, my good revolutionaries, you gotta watch this administration. We have all been thinking about, you know, Iraq, and I've talked at length about the lies that have been generated. I've talked at length about the things that are going on, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore. What I'm going to talk about is positive things we can do. If you don't like what's going on in our government, you need to go ahead and talk to your representatives. Go ahead and just go to the Congress website and find your senators and find your House representative and write them, call them. Hey, it'll be the best couple of cents you have, and the more groundswell we can create, the better it will be. Okay, so I'm gonna leave you guys with some music today from Gidgets Gaga. It's all pod safe, and I'll put up their website. And I think that this pretty much sums it up as to how I felt over the past couple of days. You know, first we have all of this information about people saying that, you know, they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to give out information about Karl Rove, and then they say they're going to look for more terrorists because of the bombings in London. And, you know, all of that really doesn't matter. The basic fact is that we're being lied to, and we don't want to sit by anymore. And what we need to do is we need to sit back, relax, and pay attention to what's going on. So I'm going to leave you with little Gidgets Gaga and their song Hit by a Train. A little bit of pod safe music on One Man Revolution. What's your destination? It seems I've lost control and all my reservations. Like a shooting star from afar, I think I'll shoot, girl, and I get away, car. Catch up to you, I don't know what I do. I'm a girl in a plane, and I need a change. Revelation. Like a shooting star from afar, I can't. So that was Gidget's Gaga with Hit by a Train. It's some pod-safe music. They're out of Chicago, and they've made their information available for those of us who are podcasting. So swing on by their website. It's in the show notes. So I'm going to just hit you up with that today. Short cast, but I'm trying to get back in the groove. So remember, if you want to get in touch with the One Man Revolution, just go ahead and email us at onemanrevolution@gmail.com. Or you can go ahead and give us a call on Skype at The Revolutionary at on Skype. That's TheRevolutionary with an underscore between the and revolutionary. Or just come to our website. That's onemanrevolution.org. And make a revolution today. Don't just sit back and relax anymore. Obviously, that hasn't worked for the last 4 years. Okay, because those folks who sat back after he got elected the first time are really feeling bad after he got reelected the second time. So please start a revolution today. If you have any ideas about how to do that, or if you want some information on how or on where to start, just go ahead and swing by the website. So this is the Revolutionary speaking for One Man Revolution, and I'll see you.